This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Hey, I'm Nick Bishop Jr. from Hattie B's Hot Chicken in Nashville, Tennessee.
And the history of Hattie B's.
Yeah, we opened actually almost 7 years ago to the day, 2012.
And we is?
My dad and myself, so we kind of go by, he's senior, I'm junior, keeps it simple that way.
And Hattie?
Hattie is a family name.
I had an Aunt Hattie.
You did, a lot. It's funny the stories that you kind of...
It was New Orleans.
It's a very southern name, it's a beautiful name, and it's sort of making a comeback now, but yeah, it's my grandmother, so my dad's mom. Great-grandmother, so his grandmother, and then my daughter, our oldest daughter, is Hattie Bright. So, yeah.
So it had to be.
Exactly, it had to be. And Bishop is our last name, so Hattie B kind of all fit in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so does your family have a history doing chicken? Is that part of...
Yeah, and food in general, southern food. Really specifically with Morrison's Cafeteria. My grandfather was with the company for over 50 years, and my dad and both of his other brothers also worked in the business and went on to start their own restaurants. And so all very much in the vein of meat and three, home style, southern cooking. And so this is sort of a continuation, evolution.
So when you guys started 10 years ago, hot Nashville chicken was just kind of being birthed, right?
No, hot chicken's been around for a very long time.
But no, as far as the next iteration, you know, that went viral and now everybody's copying.
Yeah, well, I think it sort of synced up with Nashville kind of blowing up. And so, you know, we've been in this town for a very long time, and we moved here in 1991. And so we've seen it when it was just a little old town. We were lucky to... You know, we fought to get the Titans and the Predators and didn't ever think we'd sort of get to this point. But in the last 10 years and 7 years since we've been open, hot chicken's really taken off. Nashville's taken off. And, you know, we're fortunate to be one of the sort of symbols of the city.
So your menu is essential, right, down to the core?
Yeah, and it's essential and it's simple. It's, you know, it's six sides and fries.
What are your popular sought after side?
Yeah, the pimento mac and cheese is probably our most popular. It's a great southern dish, rich, creamy, cheesy. And then our black eyed pea salad is great. We do a collard green braised with bacon.
And you're number one?
Pimento mac and cheese for sure. Yep. And then a small white or a small dark plate. I'd say medium or hot are probably the most popular heat levels. And it's a pretty good setup.
And so because there's such a preponderance of hot chicken in Nashville,
sure,
you've got to be able to kind of get a distinctive reason for me to come here versus somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, I think one of my favorite things about hot chicken in the way that we do it here in Nashville is that everybody sort of has their own take on it. The food tastes a little bit different in each. The restaurants feel a little bit different. And so for us, it's really just about being ourselves and what we're best at, which is making really quality food and taking care of our guests. You know, it's the most important thing.
And what's the most distinctive, most sought after hot chicken flavor that people expect and associate with Hattie B's?
I would say the most popular would be medium or hot, and then, you know, you get into the damn hot and shut the cluck up, and that's a whole nother level, but it's a lot of fun. And
can you go there?
I can, I don't. I've learned my lesson, you know, a few times. But, yeah, it's just a fun way to sort of engage and entertain and have a little fun.
Well, it would follow that beer would help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Beer helps. Milk helps more. Banana pudding helps. Yeah, Tums.
You got to go there.
You got to go there just to sort of to try it.
Sometimes hot chicken isn't hot in the way that you would think. And it is eatable in a way. You're going to, oh, man, this is going to be three alarms.
Yeah, for us it was important to have distinct heat levels so that if you didn't want to get your head burned off, then you could kind of get, we make just great southern fried chicken, but mild, and then if you want to work your way into it, you can, and if you want to go full blast, we can do that too.
And I presume, just looking around, that 90% of the people here are locals.
This location in particular tends to be the local spot, which is great.
So how many locations do you have?
We've got three in Nashville and seven total.
No rest for the wicked for you, huh?
No, it's always something. Every day looks different, which is a blessing and a curse. But we love what we do, and we kick the sheets off for each other every day.
What's your day-to-day? Where do you focus on?
I'm not bouncing around stores or traveling to one of our stores in Birmingham or Memphis or Atlanta or Las Vegas. Then I'm spending time with our leadership team. We've got about 12 people that help really decide what's next for Hattie B's and where to take this thing.
What is next? secret?
Yeah, well, some secret, but, you know, we're excited. We've got two stores opening next year, for sure. One more in Nashville here downtown.
Thought of San Francisco, New York?
I think of San Francisco, New York all the time. But, you know, those will come if we keep doing our jobs right. I do think, though, we're going to keep growing and moving out of Nashville a little bit as we do.
Talk to us about your favorite TV segment where you guys have been featured.
Oh, man, we've had a lot of great ones. This is pretty cool. Although there's no TV camera, but seeing the places you go, I'd probably make that trade. But I don't know, what's been a fun one. We did Ugly Delicious with David Chang. Sean Brock and David Chang came over, and we had lunch and talked a lot about the history of hot chicken and culturally sort of some of the topics that are coming up. It was enlightening and engaging, and I was thankful to be a part of that. That was fun.
Another one. Food Network.
Yeah, the Food Networkers are always fun. Michael Simon's always great to us. Yeah, we did a fun thing with the Atlanta Braves. I'm a big Braves fan.
Was this your idea?
Publicist Amy Corley. She knows.
Yeah, sure.
Oh. No, we...
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got to add some counterpoint dimensions. You can do it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm always behind the microphone, Tom.
Me too.
Well, we were in touch with the Braves teams, and he... Nick, oh, my name. Oh, my God, this is so different from me right now.
Good.
So I'm Amy Corley. I'm the publicist for Hattie B's. I work with Nick Jr., and he's a big Braves fan. And so we heard that the team was coming through Nashville, and we reached out and talked to them, and they wanted to come by and taste some chicken. And they wanted to taste our hottest heat level, shut the cluck up. So Nick gave them a tutorial and all of our spice levels, and they took the challenge, and it was a lot of fun.
Were they still standing?
He struggled, I got to be honest. But he was a good sport about it. And, yeah, it was a good excuse to wear my Braves jersey and have a little fun with them. Some of the most fun stuff we've done has not been on camera. It's more like this, or even just sitting down with somebody that you respect off camera and off script and sort of just catching up.
Living life.
But, Nikki, there was that time with PJ Subban.
Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah. PK Subban, when he was still a Predator, came into the restaurant here and did something for NBC Sports. And then Taylor Lewan, our tackle for the Titans, came in as well. So I'm a big sports.
The world comes to you, dude. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. We, again, you know, we're fortunate to be in the position we are. We don't take it lightly, and we just try to make people feel good when they come.
So you don't get spoiled, and you don't get the ego.
No, that's not.
Doesn't happen.
I get beat down by the people that love me most. They know where to keep me, and
when he walks through the restaurants, he's still picking up, you know, and wiping down tables, but he loves it. I mean, he's such a good restaurateur.
Yeah. In the construction world, I would say you can tell who the contractor is. You just look for the dude with the broom.
Yeah, it's true. I don't get to do it as much these days, but I enjoy it when I do, and I'm thankful that we got great people around that have been doing it with me for a long time, that they know what to do, you know?
Let's reel back in time, at least Nashville hot chicken. Was it Prince that first kind of got it?
Yeah, the Prince family, back in the 30s, I believe.
Like accidental? The wife was... to sabotage the husband or something.
As the story goes, I believe he came home after a late night and his girlfriend or his lady friend at the time had had enough. And he had asked her to make some fried chicken, or she had made some fried chicken, and she decided to douse it in cayenne and some other stuff, hoping to hurt him. And I think it had the opposite effect. He loved it. And there really is like an addictive quality to it.
Isn't that funny, though? Sabotage creates an empire.
Well, it is. It's a great story, and it's a fun one to tell. And, you know, the history is really deep in Nashville with Prince's and Bolton's and a lot of the other hot chicken restaurants. And so we're one of the newer ones, but we're just trying to kind of carry on the torch that they started.
But again, like you were saying earlier, it's been a part of the fabric in Nashville from the 30s on.
Yeah.
But yet there's been this explosion, last 10 years maybe?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Nashville as a city has really been under the spotlight and in a lot of good ways. And, you know, we've got to make sure we stay humble as a city a little bit and keep it authentic. And so I think that places like Prince's and Bolton's and hopefully us are places where you can come and get a real taste of Nashville.
I love it. Anything you want to add?
Our 7th birthday.
Yeah, 7th birthday. I said that. I mentioned that right off the rip. But yeah, we love what we do. Come see us. It's a fun place to be. And
who doesn't like good fried chicken?
It's about right.
Oh, my favorite. Okay, before I go, if people want to learn more, where would you direct them?
You can go to our website, hattiebee.com. I'm not good with the rest of the social stuff. I'm Nick Bishop Jr., but I'll turn it over to Amy Corley.
I'm Amy Corley, and you can follow us on social, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Hattie Bees.
What's your favorite social media vehicle for communicating with your people?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's so many. I mean, they're all good, but I really love the visuals of Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
I think so, because
For the immediate,
and we get such a great response. Our food is sexy. People like to look at it.
I'll become your friend on Instagram.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming, Tom. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure. What a great day in paradise.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Nashville, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Sometimes good intentions don't come across so well.
My name is Maneet Chauhan, and we are at the present moment sitting in Tanso, which is our Chinese concept in Nashville, Tennessee.
And you have three restaurants?
We have four restaurants, but who's counting?
And three breweries. And when do you sleep?
I don't. I have two kids, 4 and 8, so sleep is a thing of the past.
Okay, so food is everything to you, right? You're a chef. And you're in the kitchen tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Food is what makes me happy. And I have realized when I was very young that food is that common denominator that gets people together. So that is why food is something that I'm so excited about.
Here where we are, there's a Chinese motif, right?
Yes, absolutely. So this is the Chinese concept. Right next door, we have an Indian concept. Down the street, we have a street Indian concept. And right next door, we have Mockingbird, which is a diner concept.
How cool. Talk to us about your TV. You're on like Food Network.
I'm a judge on Food Network's Chop, and I also judge a lot of other shows on Food Network. Mm-hmm. So yeah, excited about that.
And I just don't understand how you can do that physically.
I think
you must be the most organized person in the world.
No, I just have an incredible team around me that supports me, both at home and at work, and it's incredible. I thoroughly enjoy doing what I'm doing, and early on I realized that to be true to myself and to my craft and to what I love to do, I need to enjoy it, and that's what I do. I enjoy each and every minute.
Let's talk for a moment philosophy of cuisine.
Yes.
This is a little aside. Years ago, I was sent to Monte Carlo to do a story on the Lawn du Casse.
Right.
And there was just this amazing, mysterious paradox. His presentation of a dinner in Louis Kahn's, there was no gimmicky, no game, no garnish, no towering this, no sprinkle of that. It was perfect little bundle of carrots with a perfect little tie and a perfect little cut of chicken. But it was like, wait a minute. Why does this look so beautiful that I don't even want to cut into it, and yet there's nothing propping it up? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's that paradox of presentation.
It absolutely is, and there was a generation where that was what was expected, and that's what it was done. I think now we've come a full circle. Everybody is craving for honest food. Mm-hmm. Everybody is craving for just the foundation, something basic, something which reminds them of home-cooked.
That's what I was thinking, projecting into your world. I'm just intuiting that you took what you learned as a little girl and watching Mama and whatnot, and you melded that into your cuisine. I can see that, taste it, feel it. Am I on target?
Absolutely. You are like right on target. To me, it is the reason I got into food is because it just connected people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what connects people is something that reminds them of where they are from and where they are going. And I think, to me, good food is almost like an aha moment that, yeah, this made my day.
Yeah. Very cool. And how about sourcing of raw ingredients. Talk to us about your philosophy there.
I think it has to be a healthy mix. We are over here in Nashville, so our local market is very, very important to us. We work with a lot of local farmers, local growers, so that is very important to us. And then there are some ingredients that you just can't get over here, so we do get that from India, like be it fresh spices, ground spices, so that really works very well.
Very, very cool. Okay. Only because I think we got to go soon and you got to get back to the kitchen. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
But what an honor and a fun pleasure to come and meet you.
Oh, my God. The honor is all mine. Thank you so much.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to learn more about your restaurants and you, where would you direct them?
I would direct them online to go to morphhospitality.com.
M-O-R-P-H.
M-O-R-P-H.
You're always morphing into something new.
Always morphing, boinking from the walls. But this has information of all our four restaurants, and then they can always follow me on Instagram at Manit Chauhan, or on Facebook at Manit Chauhan, or on Twitter at Manit Chauhan.
Awesome, Monique, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much. Pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Nashville, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
My name is Bobby Hodge. I'm the executive chef at Oak Steakhouse Nashville.
How long have you been here, Bobby?
A little over a year.
And where did you grow up? How did you get here?
Grew up in South Carolina. We've been in Charleston the last 16 years, so I kind of claim Charleston. And I've been with the company for about 8 years now. And we were building a restaurant in Raleigh, and we ended up here.
He asked me
to come here and take over this one, so cool. We came here instead.
When you hit the ground here, what did you do to kind of create a regional, local flavor to your cuisine?
So, well, for starters, I reached out to all of the farmers just to connect and meet the guys and see what they had and who I was working with. And I like to meet the people first.
So
build a relationship.
Part of the restaurant's model is sourcing local, regional, whenever you can.
That was the first thing we did, was just invite everybody in that was local to see what they had, taste their product, and then figure out how we could use it, and then figure it out seasonally so that we could change with the seasons.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's one of the joys of working in. And, you know, we have 6 Oak Steakhouses across the Southeast, but all of them are chef-driven. None of them are exactly the same menu, so we have that freedom to be able to change the menu and use the local stuff. It's really fun. It's really neat.
Talk organic, vegan, gluten-free stuff, because that's all part of what you have to do now, right?
Absolutely. It's way more than it used to be, for sure. Every night we have gluten-free and vegetarian and vegan come into a steakhouse, and we absolutely, I mean, we say yes to everybody, so, and we want it to taste good. I mean, that's the, you know, you're coming in here to pay for food. It's got to be great and fresh and,
How about you? Has there been, by default, a learning curve for you?
You know, this is the first steakhouse I ran, so yes.
But even in vegan dishes and whatnot.
It's actually fun to let the ingredients shine, you know, because before you have to build, you think about dishes as a whole and how each one plays together. But now you're talking about a bunch of vegetables and stuff, and it's actually fun to let them shine on their own instead of trying to mask it with a bunch of other, instead of playing second fiddle to a steak or whatever, now you're letting them be the star of the dish, and it's really fun, you know.
Nashville has its own kind of, you know, the hot chicken and whatnot.
Yeah.
So how do you play into the locals, you know, what they're looking
for? I'm a firm believer that if you're going to go somewhere and they have, and they're known for something, if you don't do it right, just don't do it.
Right.
So
I
steer clear of the hot chicken because I'm not from here and I don't know how to make it just right. Now,
can you do a southern fried?
Absolutely. I was about to say, I could do fried chicken all day long. But they have something secret with that, their sauce and their spice. So what I've enjoyed doing is finding the local guys, like Nathan Gifford at Gifford's Bacon. They really started taking off, and I've really taken their bacon and really made it shine, and we're kind of known for their bacon now. And so that was really fun to build that. You know what I mean? So we're trying to start, I'm not going to say start new traditions, but we're starting new ideas. Like I said, I'm not going to come in somewhere and make a poor version of, that's not me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. But
how long has Oak Steakhouse been open?
Here? A little over 2 years. When I got here, it was at a year.
It's been long enough. Has there become a signature dish or dishes, things that people expect? and come and ask for other people?
Honestly, the bacon dish is one of our biggest starters. They come for that one. Oyster Rockefeller is another big one. Our Brussels sprouts, everybody loves the Brussels sprouts these days. But again, I think a lot of people come here because we do serve the certified Angus beef. And they know that we're selling some of the better beef in town, if not the best beef in town in my eyes. But and keeping that consistency is huge.
Very cool.
It's huge.
Bobby, only because they're leaving me. They're heading out. I got to go.
Cool.
But thank you so much for sharing. To learn more about Oak Steakhouse, you guys have a website.
Oh, yeah. What, Oak
Facebook presence.
He knows this.
OakSteakhouseNash.com. Appreciate you coming.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Yeah. Bobby Hodge, thank you so much.
Thanks again. Appreciate you coming in.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.